Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owens.
It's been a delight to be able to worship God together today as the family of God on this Lord's Day. Yes, our graduates are doing great things in life. They are progressing. We congratulate them. And so tonight I thought, how appropriate would it be to talk about wisdom? Wisdom. Sounds simple enough, but it's something that we all need more of, and I'm sure that you daily pray for more wisdom from our Father above. Someone has estimated that the accumulated knowledge of man from the beginning of recorded history up until 1845 would be representative of about an inch. But from 1845 to 1945, what man had learned would amount to about 3 inches. Well, what man had learned from 1945 to 1975 would be equal the height of the Washington Monument. And from 1975 to 2010, these last 35 years, with all of the technology, advance in science, and our space program, having the world's libraries at our fingertips via the internet, we would be measuring our accumulated knowledge in miles, not inches or feet. We are getting smarter and smarter, aren't we? Well, let's not pat ourselves on the back too quickly, because let's look and see what's happening out in the world with all of this knowledge. There seems to be more crime than ever. I mean, my. We can't build prisons fast enough to be able to handle those newly convicted criminals that's going into the system. I think about war. It seems like there's many hot spots in the world today of war and talk of war. The threat of war is ever present. We have situations going on in our country at the border of California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. We just don't have war from without, but now you and I live in a time when there are those living in our country who are terrorists, would seek to do us harm, that are living amongst us. There seems to be more and more breakdown of the home, more behavioral problems. And it seems to me, when it comes to managing the basic issues of life, that we are no better than the generations of long ago. As a matter of fact, you and I would probably agree that we are losing ground. So I ask you, did this tremendous leap in knowledge translate into a great leap in wisdom? To use another word, common sense. Common sense, my friends, is not so common. I mean, we can send a cruise missile down somebody's chimney from 3.5 miles up into the heavens by a radar-resistant stealth bomber flying at 600 miles an hour, but we have no idea how to prevent the war that necessitates the airplane and the cruise missile. common sense is not so common, is it? You see, wisdom functions differently and from a different source than we might say knowledge. Isn't that right? It functions independent of the college that you graduated from or going to, or high school, the kind of degrees that you have, the kinds of houses you live in with smart appliances, the kind of cars that you drive, the smartphones that you wear on your persons or ladies you wear in your purse. Doesn't function that way. That is the reason that our Almighty God can couch His truth in a book over 2,000 years old, and it still has as much relevance today as it did back then, and probably even more so with what's going on in our world. So take your Bibles and let's read from God's holy word in Proverbs chapter 2. Wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to be looking in the first verse, and we're going to read through the 11th verse. And listen to what the wise man has to say. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of the justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. For when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. What I want to do for our remaining time tonight is I want to touch on four areas that pertain to wisdom. And this is for our graduates, and it's for everyone who is sitting in a pew tonight and the one standing behind this pulpit. First of all, wisdom looks ahead. Wisdom looks ahead. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 14, verse 28? He said, you know what? He said, which of you intends to build a tower? Does not sit down first, consider whether he has enough to complete it? Lest after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish, all who see it will ridicule or mock him, saying, you know what? This man began to build, but he wasn't able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king does not sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet the one who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is a great way off, he will send a delegation and ask for conditions of peace. What is Jesus saying there in Matthew chapter 14, 28 and following? You know what he's telling us? He's saying, look, slow down. Don't rush into things. That's exactly what he's saying. Sit down and figure out what is involved before committing yourself to a decision, before committing yourself to an action. You see, Jesus and Solomon would agree for us not to rush into things. Slow down and think things through. What Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 25, he said, it's a snare for someone to rashly say, it is holy. And then after he's made the vow to make inquiry. Slow down. You know, I think all of us, it happens to all of us when we are young. When we're young, we have this idea that, you know, bad things only happen to other people. and I'm going to live 500 years. And that I'm immune from the mistakes that, other people have to pay for. And so sometimes young people can be careless and just jump into decisions or a little bit hasty about it. And sometimes when someone will come and say, "Hold on, what are you doing?" They say, "Hey, would you get off my back? Don't you know I know what I'm doing?" And my friend, if you take that journey, that course, what you will discover is you will end up locking up yourself in positions in life that you do not like. I mean, all of a sudden you will look around and life's got you like this. And there are no options. There are no rescues left. There's no way to escape. But see, Jesus and Solomon would have us to ask some questions. Like, what is going to be the end result? Who is going to be affected? Is the thing that I want to do worth the risk? Is it necessary? What does God think about it? You see, my friends, wisdom demands that we ask such questions. Think about having sex before marriage. Maybe waiting till you have gone out into the world and sown some wild oats before settling down, coming to God. You know, there have been over the years some of our members of the church to say ignorantly, but foolishly, that one ought to wait till they're about 25 years old before they are immersed into Christ. Let them to go out and to explore the world and have a little fun and settle down. And I guess that's okay if you live that long. If you still have the ability to come to Christ after pushing Him away for so long. But if you lose that ability, and that old conscience is seared with a hot iron, that heart is calloused and hard, and you can't do it anymore, or maybe you're not alive, there'll be hell to pay. Thinking about leaving your mate and finding another? Is it worth your soul? Is it worth the soul of the person that you're with? Thinking about going into major debt? Jesus and Solomon say, slow down. Think things through. Count the cost. So wisdom looks ahead. But wisdom also does not despise the simple and basic things in life. You remember in Luke chapter 10, verse 42 and following, there Jesus came into the home of Mary and Martha, probably Martha's home, and Lazarus. And there Martha was in the kitchen, and she was trying to get ready for that meal, and Jesus was there perhaps in the living room, and He was teaching, and all these people were there, and Martha was so busy. I mean, all these things were urgent that she had to get done. There were people waiting. Supper had to be, you know, on time. And she looks around and Mary's not there. Where's Mary? Well, there Mary is, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha was so angry. And she goes to Jesus and she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me with all this work, and she doesn't, will you please tell her to come here and help?" And what did Jesus say to her? He said, "Martha, Martha." He says, "Look, you are worried and upset and troubled by many things." He said, "But only one thing is important." Oh, we would do well to take that one verse about that one thing and put it in every room of our house. And you could go to the garage where all these things that we have that are unused that we thought we couldn't live without, and you could put four or five copies in there. Only one thing is important. You know, a good football coach, a good baseball coach, will drill into the minds and hearts of his players the basics, the fundamentals. You know that. I mean, we're talking about passing and catching and hitting and watching the ball, good base running and blocking, all of those things over and over and over again, because that coach knows that the basics, the fundamentals, is the difference between victory and defeat. And that's true as Christians. If we neglect the basics, the fundamentals, day in and day out, all of a sudden we'll realize that we're in a world of hurt. There's no joy in life anymore. And so what we have to do is to make sure that we don't despise the little things. You say, well, Paul, well, what kind of basics are you talking about? Honesty, the respect of authority, character, consistency with your walk with God, humility. Those are the basics. But you know what? A day passes and we say, you know what? I didn't pray like I wanted to today. And you know what? The Bible reading, it just kind of got away from me. I'll do it tomorrow. We wake up tomorrow and it's a beautiful morning. And all of a sudden, it goes through our minds, the things that we have to do. You know, there's about 100 things we have to do. And we say, I've got it. And then we take off. And we never come back to it. And we forget it. And we say, tomorrow. You know what happens? Do you know what is happening? We are allowing the urgent things in life to push out the most important things. I think all of us would say that we are too busy not to pray and to study God's Word each and every day. Don't neglect the fundamentals and the basics in life. There was a young man that applied for a job as a farmhand. And when the farmer asked him for his experience or qualification, he said, you know what? He said, I can sleep when the wind blows. Well, that sounded a little strange, but the farmer took a liking to the fella and he hired him. A couple of weeks passed and late one night they were awakened, the farmer and his wife, by a violent storm. They woke up and quick they went to make sure that things were secure, and there were the shutters that were fastened to the old farmhouse securely. And there was the barn and it was locked properly. There was a good supply of firewood next to the fireplace. The implements were in the storage shed. The tractor was in the garage. And then the farmer remembered the words of the young man. He said, you know what? I can sleep when the wind blows. Because he was so loyal and faithful in the basic things day in and day out when the sky was clear, he didn't have to worry when the storm came because all those things were taken care of. When the rains descended and the winds blew, you know what he could do? He could sleep like a baby. Sleep in peace. And we must not neglect the basic things in life. The Word of God, it is a course, it is a textbook about the basic things in life. And most of them are preventative rather than remedial. But don't wait until you're in the biggest jam of your life to say, oh no, I've got to do the basics. Start with the basics now, today. That's what wisdom demands. Thirdly, wisdom learns from her mistakes. Do you make mistakes? I thought a few of you were just about perfect. Do you make mistakes? Sure, we all make mistakes. I like what John the Apostle wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. What he said there, he says, look, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if you go over a couple of chapters to 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, what it says, he says, no one who is born of God practices sin. So somewhere in between those two important truths, there's a great deal to be learned. And you know what that is? It's what Paul Hester talked about in his prayer a couple of times. He talked about sinning less and less and less, going longer between the times that we do sin. That is, when we do make a mistake, that is when we do sin. What do? We learn from it. I suppose, I don't know how old I was. I know I was old enough to learn this. It was the first time it came into my small brain, the idea that you can learn from your mistakes. And the only thing better than learning from your mistakes is learning from somebody else's mistake around you, so you don't have to go through it. I don't know what started the difficulty and problem between my brother, who is a couple of years older than I am, and my mom. I don't know what they were talking about. I just remember I was in the hallway, and I heard this. My brother looked at my mother, and he said, "I didn't ask to be born." Oh. All I remember is that they went into my bedroom, and I heard some screaming and crying, and my brother was begging for mercy. "Please!" And you know what I said to myself? "I will never say that to Mama." And I didn't. To this day. Learning from mistakes. You know, Peter was slow to do that, right? In Matthew chapter 16, there is Peter. "Who do you say that I am?" "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Wow! Peter! Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but your Father in heaven, He's the one that revealed it to you. Wow! Peter's going to preach the very first gospel sermon. And if you go down there to about verse 21 and 22... there Jesus is telling the disciples that there's coming a day when He is going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. And they are going to beat Him and scourge Him. And He is going to die. And the Bible says that Peter took Him aside and said, "Lord, this will never happen to You." And what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, "Get behind me, Satan." Well, that was rather strong, wasn't it? He said, "Peter, look, your ideas are that of the devil. They are not of God." Jesus said, "Look, I'm going to be sacrificed for all of mankind." Peter said, "No, you're not." Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." And there they are in the garden. Jesus said, "Arise, the betrayer is at hand." And Peter sees Judas and the band of Pharisees and the Jews coming with clubs and weapons, and he knows what's about to happen. He puts it together. And so what did Peter do? Did he learn from the previous error? Did he learn from the previous mistake? To where Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You know, you're not thinking the way God is thinking." Do you know what Peter did? He didn't learn that time. He just whipped out his sword and he went flying, and then there went Malchus' right ear. It went flying. And Jesus, I'm sure, calmly put it back on and looked at Peter and said, "Oh, Peter, don't you know that I could pray to my Father in heaven and He would send to me 12 legions of angels? Put your sword back in its sheath." Did he learn? Well, yeah, he learned eventually and became one of the greatest men in history. But it takes a little time. So, what does wisdom tell us? It says, yeah, you may make a mistake, you may sin, but you learn from that sin. Or you see somebody else around you, and maybe they have a difficulty and an error of judgment and a sin and a mistake, and you say, "You know what? I see the hurt that they're going through. I don't want to do that." Wisdom says, learn from mistakes. And then lastly, wisdom tries to strive for perspective in life. And when I say perspective, I just mean a big picture. It's kind of interesting to me that the railroad people did not realize that they were in the transportation business. The railroad people thought they were in the railroad business. Or they would have invested in the airplane. The telegraph people did not realize that they were in the communications business. They thought they were in the telegraph business, or they could have bought in 1886 all of the telephone patents, all of them, for $40,000. You say, Paul, what happened? They didn't have perspective. They did not know what business that they were in. And you say, how dumb. Hold on a second. What business are you in? What business are you in? Moms, if you're at home with those babies and you're changing diapers and you're washing clothes, let me ask you, what business are you in? It's not changing clothes and washing clothes and changing diapers. That's not the business that you're in. But you know what business you're in? Raising up children in the instruction of the Lord. Raising them up to be godly, productive children of God for the kingdom's sake, that they may live a legacy and a heritage to their children and to the next generation and the next generation. That's what the business you're in. Sir, you work. What business are you in? Well, you may say, well, you know, I'm in the engineering business. I work and I make this much money, and I work so I can take a 3-week vacation and so I can rest and enjoy life so that I'll have the energy to go back and make some more. No, you're not. No, you're not. You are God's missionary to those people who are all around you. See that? It's understanding what you are doing in life. But a person who does not have wisdom, they don't have a perspective in life, what they do is they just run on ahead, blindly going from one pursuit to the next, one interest to the next, with no thought of overall effect or consequence in life. And we cannot do that. So I ask you as we close tonight, what is your purpose? Jesus knew His purpose. In Luke 19:10, He says, look, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. He knew. He knew His purpose. It's kind of interesting that Psalm 111 verse 10 and Proverbs 9:10 say the exact same thing. When you think about your purpose, He says, to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Solomon says almost the same thing in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Fear God and do His commandments, for that is the whole duty of man. That is why we are here. I pray tonight that you will take wisdom. You will seek her. You will be clothed in her. You will have wisdom. You will have discretion. You will have understanding. You will have common sense. Oh, if you do that, you know what? Life will be so much easier. You can go so much further in the kingdom of God, be so much more useful in the church if you're a wise man or a wise woman. You see, wisdom remains a prized possession that is worthy of your pursuit. What would a man exchange to get it? All that he has. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to have understanding? Will you do this tonight? Will you look ahead? And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, will you please do this? Look ahead! Where are you going to be 110 years from now? What's going to be the state of your soul? Look ahead. Try to strive for the big picture. perspective. Learn from the mistakes. Don't despise the simple, basic things of life. And if you will do those things, you will take them a hold and cherish them and make them dear to your heart. They will bless you. God will be able to bless you. And I pray that for all of our graduates and all that are here tonight. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, will you do so right now as we stand and as we sing?
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.